The date today is Thursday, February the 7th, 2019. The message following will be by Theodore Turner. Today we're going to be talking about the one baptism in Jesus' name. The baptism in Jesus' name involves being put in the water, and you're put down in the water and you're raised back up again, like symbolic of Jesus being put in the earth and raised back up again. And then you receive the Holy Ghost, which is symbolic by fire. And then you receive the working of the Holy Spirit in your name, which is symbolic by the wind. So let's start with the verses. But before I start with the study, what I want to do is I want to tell you about how to be saved, to make sure you're saved. I don't want to wait till the end of my message and have to have you drive off or get out at work and don't get a chance to hear this. If you're not sure you're saved, you need to do the following thing, and it's saying a Bible verse. This is how you get saved to be a Christian. Some people call it the salvation message. Here's how Billy Graham worded it. You need to pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this if you want to be saved, and make sure you're saved. The prayer is this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in your name. Amen. There's a few verses that basically prove that you've become a Christian. As long as you've met the requirements, it's just almost the same as getting a driver's license, only it's like getting an eternal license to be part of God's family. In Romans 3:23, it says, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And repent is the key word at this point. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:10 is one of the key verses. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One of the reasons that Billy Graham and others have people come down to the front is it's because you're supposed to confess in front of other people that you're saved. Let other people know that you're saved. So remember, this is the prayer again. I'm going to tell you it again before we start talking about the baptism. The prayer is to say this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior in your name. Well, now that you've done this, you are a Christian, and I want to talk about the baptism and how to get some power in your life. One of the key verses of this is about the one baptism in Jesus' name, in one church, and one spirit. So we're going to read the verses, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In Romans 6:3, it talks about the baptism, and it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So what they're talking about there is when Jesus died and was buried and arose again. And when we are baptized, it's symbolic of being died and buried. Romans 6:4 explains this in the Bible. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And someday we're going to be risen from the dead, just like Jesus did. And one of the most important things for all of us to remember is that we're going to live forever you're going to live forever, whether you're a Christian or not. Where are you going to be 500 years from now? Are you going to be up there in heaven, thinking back about all the things that you did and being glad that you did certain things? Or are you going to be in the other place, really sorry that you didn't do the things that you should have done? Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, many of us are probably addicted to alcohol, beer, drugs, a lot of other things like that. God doesn't expect you to change instantly and drop all these faults. I've known people who have changed pretty quick, but God, it takes you to where you're at. It doesn't matter what you're doing tonight, whether you're out on the street, doing drugs, selling drugs, prostitution, whatever it might be, God will take you where you're at. Maybe lying, stealing, robbing places and stuff like that. He'll take you where you're at, but you have to be willing to give that up, and you have to tell God that you're going to give it up. And there were some verses in the Bible where one of the disciples was walking down and talked to some people. And it came to pass in Acts 19:1 that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "What then were you baptized?" And they said, "Under John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." And speaking in tongues is one of the gifts mentioned in Corinthians. Many times, these people that were saved and baptized in Jesus' name would just start talking right away in other tongues and praising the Lord in another language. And this was something that happened to a lot of people in the beginning, and it still happens. I've been in a church service myself where I saw this happen. In Acts 2:37, some other people were there, and they said, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, and to your children, to all those that are afar off." Many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this generation." 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "The like figure whereunder even baptism does also now show us, save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now I'm going to read that one again, because I believe it's important to do the baptism to keep your conscience clear, so you don't have to worry about whether you should or shouldn't have done it. Just go get baptized. That's what I would put it. 1 Peter 3:21, "The light figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." So the one baptism in Jesus' name includes a lot of things, including receiving the Holy Spirit, our faith, and believing in the God who is God and Father of all, mentioned in Ephesians 4:6. The water represents purification and healing. And so sometimes when you purify something, it isn't done immediately, like boiling of water. You purify it to get the germs out of it. So God takes us the way we are. In the definition, it says water purification and healing. Water is associated with the cleansing and purification of body and spirit. For Christians, baptism by water, it's a symbol of the grace of God and signifies spiritual rebirth. The word baptism comes from the Greek word meaning to plunge, to wash. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire and wind are another part of the baptism. The water symbolizes us dying with Jesus. The fire symbolizes the Holy Ghost coming into our life, like it says in Matthew 3:11. And the wind is like the changes that go through us, blowing this out and removing the evil that's within us. So there's different verses in the Bible talking about that. The fire, especially in the form of a candle, represents the Holy Spirit, power to save and change a soul. It's mentioned in the Bible where they burn candles, and whenever the flame was there, they were talking about the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament. And water cleanses us from the sin, but the Holy Spirit will wash your soul from the inside and completely cleanse you. Fire represents the Holy Spirit and will come on the disciples and the Christians. One thing about fire is it's like our spirit and our Christianity. Fire spreads like our Christianity. Fire attracts like a good church. Fire melts the hearts. Fire takes away your breath sometimes when you end up receiving the Holy Spirit. Religion does this also, but not the kind of religion that we want. We want the kind of religion where Jesus comes down here and he fills us with the Holy Ghost and cleanses us and sends his fire of the Holy Spirit and sends his wind to clean up our lives. Ezekiel 37:9 talks about how the wind can bring life unto us by cleaning or repairing. So I'm going to read Ezekiel 37:9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Ephesians 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an excellent and great army. When God sends the wind, that can do a lot of things. It's like the delivery of the Holy Spirit. It's symbolic of that. But it's important. Have you ever been out in a boat and you felt this small breeze on you that seems so fresh and it makes your breath just feel like it's easier to breathe than ever? Well, that's how it is with the wind of God and with the Holy Spirit. So you need to get baptized. You need to have that Spirit of God moving into your heart, which is like the fire, and then you need to have the wind behind you so that it just drives you along and helps you to be the kind of Christian you need to be. And it's just like you almost feel that Holy Spirit blowing on you sometimes, like a big giant fan. And it's so important to ask for the Holy Spirit and ask for the baptism in Jesus' name. There was a man in the Bible called Cornelius, and he said, it's written in Acts 10:30, I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me, bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon. And he went down there, and he found Simon Peter. And in 10:44, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, and they receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They prayed him to tarry certain days. Now this is an example of when the Holy Spirit came on the people before they were baptized. The baptism is important. I believe it helps you to keep a clear conscience and not to worry whether you need to have it or not, but just to do it. It's very important that you do get baptized, and you want to have all those things in your body. You want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your body. You want to have the fire of the Holy Spirit in your body, which is the just the power that goes in your body, and the Spirit. In Zechariah 4:6 it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." In other words, a lot of things happen that God does, and it's not by our might, our power, our strength, but it's by His Spirit that He does that. So Zechariah 4:6, the last part says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We don't have to fear that we're not really a Christian. We just have to try to do the best we can and be the best Christian we can. And God will help us and protect us and help us be the kind of people we want to be and the way He wants us to be if we keep trying. Remember today to ask Jesus into your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.